could both talk and see. All the people were astonished and said, "Could this be the son of David?" But then when the Pharisees heard this, they said, "It is only by Beelzebul, the prince of demons, that this fellow drives out demons." Jesus knew their thoughts, and he said to them, "Every kingdom divided against itself will be ruined, and every city or a household divided against itself will not stand. If Satan drives out Satan, he is divided against himself. How then can his kingdom stand? And if I drive out demons by Beelzebul, by whom do your people drive them out? So then they will be your judges. But if it is by the Spirit of God that I drive out demons, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. Or again, how can anyone enter a strong man's house and carry off his possessions unless he first ties up the strong man? Then he can plunder his house. Whoever is not with me is against me, and whoever does not gather with me scatters. And so I tell you, every kind of sin and slander can be forgiven, but blasphemy against the Spirit will not be forgiven. Anyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man will be forgiven, but anyone who speaks against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven, either in this age or in the age to come." And then if you turn with me to the book of Mark, chapter 3, verse 29, about on page 1560 this morning. Just one verse that kind of reiterates what we just talked about. "But whoever blasphemes against the Holy Spirit will never be forgiven. They are guilty of an eternal sin." And then let's go to the book of Exodus. And then let me just set the stage for this just a little bit so you have understanding. So I'm picking up here at verse 7. We're going to read just a few verses, but chapter 7 through 14, you are familiar with the story of Pharaoh. God's people are in slavery in Egypt, and Pharaoh works against God, and God sends Moses there, and he says what to the people, to Pharaoh? "Set my people free," right? And he denies, Pharaoh says, "No, that's not going to happen." And so if you want to read more about the story, go home and read that today. I'm just going to read a couple snippets to set the stage for this, and this is going to follow through in my message this morning as well. So chapter 7, verse 1 through 3, and then 13 and 14. Then the Lord said to Moses, "See, I have made you like God to Pharaoh, and your brother Aaron will be your prophet. You are to say everything I command you, and your brother Aaron is to tell Pharaoh to let the Israelites go out of his country. But I will harden Pharaoh's heart, and though I multiply my signs and wonders in Egypt, he will not listen to you." And then skip down to verse 13. "Yet Pharaoh's heart became hard, and he would not listen to them, just as the Lord had said. Then the Lord said to Moses, 'Pharaoh's heart is unyielding. He refuses to let the people go.' And we know from there are 10 plagues that come against Pharaoh and the people of Egypt, and Pharaoh's heart grows harder and harder as those plagues enter into the kingdom." Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we've read from your word. We pray for a blessing upon your word today. Lord, may your Holy Spirit bring that word to life. And Lord, may these words that I bring to your people today be your words and not mine. Lord, may you fill me with your spirit as I preach to them today. Lord, I also pray for those that have gathered here. Open their hearts and minds and souls to receive your teaching today. In Jesus I pray, amen. Years ago, when the western U.S. was being settled, roads were often just wagon tracks. And often in those wagon tracks, they would run into mud and water, and there'd be deep roots that on these trails that they take west in wagon trains. And there was a sign on one of these roots that read this: "Stay out of this root, because if you get in it, you'll be stuck in it for the next 25 miles. All right, I want you to think about that this morning. Let me talk about some of your habits today as well. How many of you have habits in your life that maybe you're aware of or you're not aware of? Some can be good habits, but others can be negative or bad habits that we encounter in our life. And it's a lot like being stuck in this rut that I'm talking to you about this morning, of this wagon train. And so I want to relate this morning to this Bible verse that I read to you about the unpardonable sin this morning. It's difficult to understand, and I think it's one of the most misunderstood Bible verses that we we learn and that we know. And so I hope by the end of the service today that you have a deeper understanding of what the unpardonable sin, the blasphemy against the Holy Spirit, looks like in your Christian walk. That's what I want you to take home today. A good understanding of what that looks like and what it means to me in my faith journey. Now, all these thoughts that I'm going to bring forth to you here in just a moment, I want you to think about in your own life. Many think that this unpardonable sin is some kind of a prolonged sinful habit that you just can't seem to break out of. It nags you. It's always there. It tempts you. And you can't seem to get out from underneath it. All right? Now, some of you might think that's the unpardonable sin. I can't seem to break the stronghold that it has in my life. All right, here's another one this morning. Others think that it's that one vile act that is so bad that it can never be forgiven. All right? Now, let me tell you that your thought process about that type of thinking with this unpardonable sin is wrong this morning. That is not what the Bible teaches. And so how many of you would like to know what the Bible teaches about this type of sin? Anybody this morning? Just a couple of you. Okay, I'll see the rest of you after I'm done preaching this morning then, all right? So, and I think you're going to find this quite interesting. And so if you have your outline with you, there's going to be some additional Bible verses I'm going to use this morning. Write those down. Go home and study them. Get a deeper understanding of what I'm talking about here this morning. But the unpardonable sin is far different type of sinning than most people think. And so that's what we're going to talk about today. Now, if you go back to the Bible scripture, Jesus healed a demon-possessed man. Right? He was unable to talk. He was unable to see. And Jesus called him out on it. He said, demon, scatter. Right? He said, come out of this man. And this man received healing. And then if you're with me in your Bible this morning, I'm on Matthew 12, verse 24, then the Pharisees see what's going on. And they call Jesus out for this. Right? They're not believing that he's the Son of God, that he has the power to do these things. In fact, here's where the blasphemy comes in. We think you are Satan, and you're on Satan's side. That's what they said to Jesus. And of course, you know that Jesus responds to them, and he says, well, let me just share this with you. You know, if your house is divided, how can he stand? If I'm Satan, why would I cast out this own demon out of this person? I mean, look what's going on. Doesn't this make sense? And by all means, it did. But they accused Jesus of being Satan or one of his demons for performing this miracle. And of course, they blasphemed Jesus Christ. And then we go into verses 31 and 32. And so I tell you, every kind of sin and slander can be forgiven, but blasphemy against the Spirit will not be forgiven. Anyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man will be forgiven. I want you to remember what I just told you in the first part of this verse, okay? But anyone who speaks against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven, either in this age or in the age to come. Now, most of you, when I read that verse, most of you will get hung up on the last part of verse 32, which says, anyone who speaks against the Holy Spirit. But most of us forget what the first half of that verse says, and let me just reread that to you. Anyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man will be forgiven. Let me explain that to you this morning, what Jesus is actually saying there. I mean, it's a sweeping statement, all right? It's a broad statement that covers everything that Jesus talks about when it comes to sin. Every sin you commit is forgiven when you come to Jesus Christ, the repentant heart, and you ask for that forgiveness. And you say, well, I get that, Rob. I understand that. I know what you're talking about. I realize that. But what does that mean? So let me just clarify that here as we move forward. I need you to understand something before you can understand the unpardonable sin. Okay? And let me explain a few things to you this morning. You need to understand the truth of this statement. The statement that I read you, that every sin is forgivable when we ask God with a repentant heart. Okay? Because if you don't believe that, you're not going to understand the unpardonable sin. You're going to miss out on that in your life. Now, here's what people end up doing in their faith journey when it comes to this verse about the unpardonable sin. We put tags on people for sins that they commit, and we hold it against them. How many of you read about the school shooting this past week in Uvalde, Texas? Evil, right? Bad. You know, I don't know that shooter's heart, and I'm not going to stand up for that shooter, but I know that's a pure act of evil. It's, and I think it's spiritual evil that's gone on, has way to do more than what most people think. But here's what I want you to think about. What kind of a tag did you put on that person in his life for the type of sin that he committed? Because I think that we put tags on people for certain types of activities that people get involved in. When I say this to you, what does this do to you? What kind of a tag do you put on a child molester? Now, I'm not excusing the sin, because we're not the judge. But what I want to know as a Christian, what do you do with that individual sin? How do you treat that? And what kind of a response do you give to that type of situation? So here's what I want you to think about. I want you to think in your personal life, as you live life, the things that you experience, and as you get older, you experience more things, and sinful things happen because the Bible says that's part of life, and no matter if we're a believer or not, sin is going to be there, it's going to be committed, and what you do with it matters to God, and the way that you treat others matters to God. And so what kind of tags are you using today? Because when Jesus says in verse 32 that when you come with a repentant heart, just not that sin and that sin, but there's no way that sin is way too vile, that is not forgivable, right? And we start to judge, don't we? And we start to place tags on people's lives when they've done something wrong that we see as that is a terrible sin. And God sees sin as sin, doesn't he? No one sin is worse than the other. And then Jesus comes forth and he says, every sin, every blasphemy against me, I'll forgive. Every sin. When a believer comes with a repentant heart. Now, we need to understand that it's important that not everybody's going to come with a repentant heart. And not everybody's going to ask for forgiveness, right? In their lives. But we pray as believers of Christ, as you sit here in a church, or if you're listening online this morning, as followers of Christ, that we're called to repent. We're called to ask for forgiveness for the sins that you and I are involved in, that we commit, and maybe those that were even unknown in our lives. Right? Sins of omission, we call those. But I want you to think about the tags in your life. What have you done? You know, and I think I can find myself in this category. Even as a pastor, even as a follower of Jesus Christ, it's easy for me to put a tag on somebody who's maybe committed a vile sin, right? Especially against a child. And how we judge, and Jesus says, that's all forgiven. And by the way, that's his place. That's his job to judge and to so on. But let me think about, here's another question I have for you this morning. Let me get to the next screen. What tags have you put on yourself in your life? What tags have you told yourself, you know, I've asked for forgiveness of this sin, but I don't feel that I'm forgiven. And you drag it around your whole entire life, right? Yeah. I had this analogy once when I was in seminary by a seminary student that gave that. How many of you have seen a sack of potatoes before? Right? a gunny sack of potatoes, 25 pounds or 50 pounds. You know, I want you to think about, as we get to come to the table here in a little while this morning, and we come with repentant hearts to get rid of that sack of potatoes, right? But I want you to think about when you and I, when we tag ourselves and we say to God, I just don't know if you can forgive this sin, and we hold on to it, it's like dragging around a rotten sack of potatoes on your back your whole entire life. How many of you smelled rotten potatoes before? But they smell great, don't they? You know, and that's like sin that you hold on to that you don't want to get rid of in your life, and it weighs you down. It causes all kinds of things that havoc in your life. And Jesus says to here, you need to know that when you ask, I don't care how vile it is or what kind of tag you put on yourself, I'm going to forgive you because you're my child. I love you. Because you're my child. So when you get to come to the table here this morning, some of you have had conversations with you. I know what you're going through. It's hard for you to get to that place. But some of you, you need to let go and move on. And let God bring healing to your life. So my question comes back to you. What kind of tags have you put on yourself? What kind of tags have you put on others in your life that you just need to get rid of? Live life. Because Jesus says every kind of sin shall be forgiven. And that's where Jesus wants you to live. That's his desire for you in your life, to be free of the burden of those things. Now the Bible also teaches that God is love. And so if 1 John 4 verse 16 says God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God, and God in them. Now, we know that the Old Testament, if we were go back to the Old Testament and we were to look up in Exodus 20, Deuteronomy, we'd find a list of the law, right? The Ten Commandments. And God gave that to the Israelites and to his people, and he said, here's my commands. If you follow these will be good for your life. This is how I want you to live. And of course, we know that we can't keep the law, and Christ came to redeem us and to fulfill the law, and we live under grace and so on in the world today. But the law of God is love. Now, I want you to think about the law, the Ten Commandments. When we break the law, what do we call that as a Christian? When we lie, when we steal something, when we kill, it's what's that three-letter word? Sin, right? Yeah, sin. And it becomes a violation of God's love, right? And what I mean by that is that when you sin, you have a desire in you that is stronger to sin than your desire and your love for Jesus Christ. And sometimes that's our whole struggle when we walk in this world. Sometimes you and I, we desire the sin more than we desire God's love. Now, notice I did not say that God does not love you. Because he does very much, very deeply, even though that we are sinners. But when we break the law, we violate that love. When we sin, we love the sin more than we love God. Now, Al was talking about fishing up here. Now, you need to realize that I am baiting you, all right, of what's to come here. So I'm drawing you into the story here. And then God says, even in the midst of sin, when we repent, he still loves us. Now, if you've experienced his forgiveness and love, there is no way for you to commit the unpardonable sin. You can't commit it. If you experience the love of God and you're filled with the Holy Spirit in your life, as a believer, you cannot commit the unpardonable sin. And right now, you should be going, whew, thank God for that. And I'll explain that sin a little bit more in detail in just a moment. But here's my encouragement to you. If you're a follower of Jesus Christ and you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you cannot commit this sin. I'll show you some Bible examples of people that have in just a little bit. And you'll begin to understand what the sin looks like in your life. And so as you're sitting here this morning, I want you to realize that you should rejoice greatly in your life. As a follower of Jesus Christ. All right? So what does the sin against the Holy Spirit look like? Let's talk about that, because I've told you about, you know, what that looks like in our lives and the tags we place and the misunderstanding that sometimes we use for sins in the world that God says, nope, that's not right. That's not how it looks. And here's what it is. Matthew 12, verse 32, whoever speaks against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven. It's an outright rejection of God's love. You don't want God's love in your life. Anything that the Holy Spirit leads you to, you say no. I don't want it. I don't want to even go there. I reject it in my life. That's the unpardonable sin. And some of you will put it into a nutshell. Where I was having a conversation with my boys this past week, and they put it together and they said this, well, Dad, does it simply mean that you're just turning your back on God? And I said, yes, that's what it is. You have no desire for God in your life. And when the Holy Spirit moves in your life, you say, no, I don't need you, God. I don't want your love, God, in my life. I've been preaching to you now for several weeks on the work of the Spirit. When you commit this type of sin, you reject the ability of the Holy Spirit to move you. You reject the Spirit's work to inspire you. You reject the Spirit's work to soften your heart. And what story did I just read you this morning out of Exodus about whose heart? Pharaoh. There's a perfect example in the Bible of what this sin looks like. How Pharaoh just denied God. Didn't want nothing to do with him. That's the best example I can give you now. There are more examples in the Bible that we can look at, but we won't go through those today. See, Pharaoh refused. He refused to even acknowledge God. And of course, you know that God sent the 10 plagues in the land of Egypt. But Pharaoh could not see what God was doing. In fact, Pharaoh outrightly denied God, right? He defied him. He sent Moses to him. He said, let my people go. And he said, nope. They've been there for some 400 years making bricks and whatever, and they thought they were content. And God said, I'm gonna send you to a new land. I'm going to bless you. And of course, then all these plagues come out, and Pharaoh's heart is extremely hardened. He refused to see what God was up to. And then, of course, if you read Exodus 7 through 14, you'll find many times, and Pharaoh's heart was hardened. And Pharaoh's heart was hardened. And Pharaoh's heart was hardened. I pray that that is not you this morning. You know, God did not make Pharaoh that way. It was not God's attitude towards Pharaoh that he have a hard heart. It was Pharaoh's attitude towards God that made his heart hard. So what kind of attitude are you functioning with today in your life? Is your heart soft towards God, and is the Spirit working in it, and do you feel the love of Jesus Christ and his forgiveness and your redemption and what he did on the cross? Are you sitting there this morning and your heart is, you're just hardened by God? It's like, I don't want nothing to do with God, and you just want to stay away. And I think most of you sit here this morning knowing that God is working in your life. And that's a good spot to be. Because your heart has been softened. It's been turned from the evil one towards Jesus Christ. And the Spirit is alive and well in your life. You know, God never turns away from his people. His people turn away from him. Right? We can find that often, even the world we live in today. And may I say this to you, if you're a believer in Christ, you have a ferocious fight on your hands if you think you're going to walk away from God. Do you hear that? Because God has sent his Spirit into your life, and he's going to fight for you, every bit of you, with his love. He's just not going to let you go. He's going to fight for you. God is fighting fearlessly to save you. So the Spirit of God, He's with you today. And otherwise, I don't think you'd be here. You wouldn't be listening to this message. Because the Spirit of God has drawn you in. The Spirit of God has softened your heart. He's brought you to listen to this message today. And so, as believers, you don't have to worry about committing the unpardonable sin of defying and rejecting God. You have to worry about the sins that we commit and asking for forgiveness. And one of those acts today is coming to the table, having communion with Christ, asking for forgiveness, and being forgiven. The love of God is in your heart. Now, you might not feel that all the time, but I will tell you that it's there. God is always right there. And so may you feel that today. And so may I also say this morning, just a few closing words. You know, some of you hang on to maybe that one vile sin, that tag that you wear. And most people don't know about that tag, but you do. And let me say this to you. When you wear that tag, when you can't forgive yourself, it's not God's unwillingness to forgive you, but it is your unwillingness to believe that your sins are forgiven. All right? Remember that. Jesus said it this morning, right? Every sin is forgiven. That's what we celebrate. That's the goodness of God. And Jesus makes you worthy. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, as we learn about this verse today and as we understand what this means, I pray for clarity. I pray for your Spirit to abound in our lives, Lord, as you lead and guide and direct us. Lord, I pray too for those that are maybe holding on to that tag of sin, whatever it is. Lord, may they let go of that this morning. Lord, may we also let go of the tags we might have placed in other people's lives. Lord, may we experience your freedom that you talk about in Scripture, that you come to set your people free. Lord, bless your church, bless your people. Lord, and we thank you for your word in Scripture to teach us. In Jesus I pray, amen. I'm going to invite